From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua. In a message entitled, Sin Exposed and Expunged, Dr. Cairns is presenting some important lessons about the deadliness of sin. The text is chapter 9, verses 16 through 27, where, having heard of Israel's victories at Jericho and Ai, the Gibeonites came to Joshua with a false story that they were from a far country. Neglecting to ask for the Lord's guidance, Joshua and the elders of Israel entered into a league with these people. 3 days later, the Israelites discovered that the Gibeonites were but another heathen Canaanite tribe. Reluctant to break his oath to them, Joshua made them slaves to Israel from that day forward. The Bible is emphatic that God sees everything in our lives and that He must judge sin. Early exposure of sin is a sign of God's grace, for the longer sin remains hidden, the harder the heart becomes. As the writer of Proverbs said, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. A Christian may fear that he can no longer be anything or do anything for God because of some sin, what might be called an alliance with a Gibeonite. Yet the Bible declares that there is mercy with the Lord, and the repentant and restored believer may go on to be used of God. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in John chapter 17 and verse 23. I in them. If such be the union which subsists between our souls and the person of our Lord, how deep and broad is the channel of our communion! There is no narrow pipe through which a thread-like stream may wind its way. It is a channel of amazing depth and breadth, along whose glorious length a ponderous volume of living water may roll its floods. Behold, He hath set before us an open door. Let us not be slow to enter. This city of communion has many pearly gates. Every several gate is of one pearl, and each gate is thrown open to the uttermost, that we may enter assured of welcome. If there were but one small loophole through which to talk with Jesus, it would be a high privilege to thrust a word of fellowship through the narrow door. How much we are blessed in having so large an entrance! Had the Lord Jesus been far away from us, with many a stormy sea between, we should have longed to send a messenger to Him to carry Him our loves, and to bring us tidings from His Father's house. But see His kindness. He has built His house next door to ours. Nay more, He takes His lodging with us, and tabernacles in poor, humble hearts, so that He may have perpetual fellowship with us. Oh, how foolish must we be if we do not live in habitual communion with Him! When the road is long and dangerous and difficult, we need not wonder that friends seldom meet each other. But when they live together, shall Jonathan forget his David? A wife may, when her husband is upon a journey, abide many days without holding converse with him. But she could never endure to be separated from him if she knew him to be in one of the chambers of her own house. Why, believer, dost not thou sit at his banquet of wine? Seek thy Lord, for he is near. Embrace him, for he is thy brother. Hold him fast, for he is thine husband, and press him to thine heart, for he is of thine own flesh.
There's a sacred and hallowed retreat, where my soul finds a fellowship sweet. Where the Lord of my life I may meet, in the garden of Savior is dwelling within, in the garden of my heart. In the cool of the day, he walks with me. In the rose-hearted way, he talks with me. In love's holy union and sacred communion. In the garden of my heart.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Thank you.
Up until now, these people had been slaves of evil deities and demons. They'd been slaves of their own lust and their own wickedness. Oh, they were made slaves of the house of God. But as I've indicated, has the world ever seen slavery like this? There they stood in possession of all their cities. They still tilled their land. They still reaped the benefits of their labor. By any other standards, this was the utmost freedom. Never a conquering nation ever dealt with a conquered people like this. God brought them near to Himself. It was a glorious token of grace and of forgiveness. Do you know, my friend, that's what God does when by His law He comes to you to expose your sin. When God by His Spirit comes to plow up your heart and to touch your conscience. When the Lord brings to you the knowledge of your guilt and the feeling of your shame, and when He threatens you with the awful torment of His judgment, it is in mercy that He does it. It's in grace. Because, as Paul told the people in Antioch, in Acts chapter 13, the Pisidian Antioch, he says in verse 38, through this man, that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's the message God has given through His word to His people, to take out to the world. That's the message that God has for you this morning. We have been reading a passage about the incarnation. What is the message of it? To you, through this man, is preached the forgiveness of sins. What's the message of the cross? To you, through this crucified Christ, is preached the forgiveness of sins. When God comes to you to expose your sin, it is not that you should wallow in a sense of your sin, but it is that you should go to the cross and get cleansing from that sin. For the law is our schoolmaster to lead us unto Christ. Oh, what mercy God showed to the Gibeonites. You know, as I thought of that, I noted one thing particularly. I've said it was good for these people to seek peace with Israel. It was good for these people to believe the reports about the Lord, the God of Israel, and to seek to escape His wrath. That was good. It was wrong to go about their purpose as they did. And yet God pardoned even that. As I pondered that, there was to me a very sweet thought, a very important thought, that God pardons the very sin that attends our coming to Him. Now let me repeat that. God pardons the very sin that attends our coming to Him. How many people labor over this? They feel like the Gibeonites. Well, it is good that I want to be saved. It is good that I come to the Lord. It is good that I pray the sinner's prayer. It is good that I would sue for peace through Christ. But oh, what sin attends my coming. How false I am, even in my truest moments. How full of unbelief, even when I'm seeking to exercise faith. And I think to some extent every person who is a Christian must feel that. Every person who wants to be a Christian must feel that. I can well remember in my own experience how that very thought was such a detriment in my life. And it seemed to put away forever the very hope of ever being at peace with God. How can I pray when in my believing I am still so touched with unbelief? My faith is so tainted with lack of faith. My repentance is so imperfect. want you to understand this. If you're going to wait to repent until you can perfectly repent, you'll go to hell. Because you can do nothing perfectly. If you're going to wait until you have perfect faith before you believe into the saving of your soul, you will perish in the lake of fire forever. Now, I'm being very blunt with you. This is not an unimportant subject. You need to see the truth. Why do I put it this way? For a very simple reason. It's absolutely vital that you learn that it's not the strength of your faith that saves you. It is not the depth of your repentance that saves you. It is the one in whom your faith resides who saves you. Faith, like a grain of mustard seed, is just as much saving faith as faith that would be like a full-grown oak. It is not the amount of faith that saves you. It is the Christ in whom that faith resides who saves you. All we do is tempted with our sin. That's a grief. When you pray, sin is present with you. When you kneel before God, listen, sin is present with you even as you kneel before God. You need the constant covering of the blood of Christ in your holiest moments, in your most spiritual aspirations. You need the constant covering of the blood of Christ. But this is the glory of the grace of God in the gospel, that He forgives our sins and He extends His forgiveness to the very sin that would accompany us in our coming to Him. There is no excuse to stay away from Christ. There is no reason to wait in your coming to Christ. The message of God's dealing with the Gibeonites is a message of deep encouragement to every convicted soul and to every wounded saint. There is a broader message for us all. I don't often like to use long quotations. First, because I don't like to do it just by myself, and secondly, because my wife always gives me a lecture if I do. And those of you who have wives will know that a lecturing wife is not your wife at her best. Well, she's at her best, but you're not at your best. However, she's right in this. I don't like long quotations, but I'm going to break the rule because I think this is something that is beautifully put, and I think it's something that's very, very vital for many Christians. F.B. Meyer, great English Baptist contemporary of C.H. Spurgeon, spoke of our mistakes from this passage. He spoke of our mistakes being divinely overruled. And he says this is a beautiful and a comforting example of the way in which God overrules our mistakes and brings blessings out of our sins. Inadvertently and without due consideration, some may have entered into an alliance with a Gibeonite, whether in marriage or in business or in some other sphere. Are they therefore to abandon their high privilege and forsake their lofty ministry in the world? Must they cease to be God's portion and the priests of men. Let me interject there. There are many of you who have made decisions which you now regret, but you can't undo them. There are many of you today, and you find yourself in a situation where you're wishing, I could go back and change all that. Oh, that I could go back those years. I wouldn't make that decision. I wouldn't enter into that alliance. But I can't. That feeling is a feeling of the utmost frustration, because here you are, and you say, I've wasted the opportunity. I've lost out with God, and there's no hope now. My decisions cannot be undone. Must you cease to be God's portion, God's priest before men in this world? Mayer says, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Let them turn to God in repentance and confession. It's the first thing. Turn to the Lord in repentance and confession, and He will teach them, listen, how these very hindrances may become means of help, so that they, that is the very hindrances, shall hew the wood for the burnt offering, and draw the water for the libations, and promote the prosperity and the well-being of the soul. Out of the eater shall come forth meat, and out of the strong sweetness. My friend, listen. You don't need to live your life forever in the shadow of foolish decisions. You don't need to live forever in the defeat of past failures. You don't need to live your life from now until the grave saying, I can do nothing for God. I can be nothing for God. I can go no place for God, because there is my folly. There is my shame. There is my Gibeonitish alliance. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has God lost the power of pardon? Has God lost the power of restoration? Is it not He who says that He will restore the years that the locusts have eaten? Bless God, He overrules even our mistakes. That doesn't excuse our mistakes. But God is a God of grace. To me, it's a great encouragement as I think of this aspect, too often overlooked, this aspect of the kindness and the goodness of our God. So it is that both saints and sinners would do well to look to God to uncover their sins. We have seen that sin, while it lies hidden, is doing its deadly evil. Uncovering of sin quickly is usually a mark of great favor. So don't cover your sin. The Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth the sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I trust that every one of us will learn this morning to act speedily on that scripture.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.